hearing is change of zone number 2017 Gulfstream Stream Glen Cove. And then the following public hearing is conditional use number 2462 Gulfstream Glen Cove. These are two separate applications being brought by the same applicant, and of course they are related. And because of that, the applicant has requested that the public hearing be consolidated for these two applications. And we're going to grant that request. So there will be one public hearing for both applications. When we vote on them, we will vote on them separately, and they are voted on independent of each other, and one could go one way and one could go the other way if that's what the commission decided. But they will be voted on separately, but we are going to allow the applicant to consolidate for the hearing. And with that, the chair recognizes Ms. Pete.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. For the record, my name is Mackenzie Pete, and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Saul Ewing.
I'm sorry. I didn't let Jamie read it.
You're right. We have to let you go first.
I will be quick, Mr. Chairman.
The heat's getting to everyone.
The first is change of zone number 2017 Gulfstream Glen Cove, which is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for certain parcels of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 12.32 acres more or less. The properties are lying on the north side of Burbage Road, which is Sussex County Route 353, approximately 475 feet west of Windmill Drive, which is Sussex County Route 352. The 911 addresses are 30835, 30839, 30845, 30853, 308330879, 30885, 30889, 30895, 30899, 30903, and 30911, and 30910, and 30896 Winfield Lane, Ocean View. And the tax parcel IDs are District 133, Map 12, Parcel 374.01.02, and Parcel 375.00, and Parcel 3445.00 through 3460.00. The second application is conditional use number 2462, which is an ordinance for the same parcel of land to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwellings, 50 units, to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 12.32 acres more or less. And I will not read that list of addresses because they are the same as previously read. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet. We have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99-9C response. We have a copy of the applicant's drainage assessment report and the resource buffer management plan. We have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report. We have a copy of the proposed bylaws and declarations for the development. We have a copy of the PLUS response from the State Planning Office. We're also in receipt of technical advisory comments, including comments from the Delaware Electric Co-op and the State Division of Watershed Stewardship, the State Fire Marshal and County Engineering. We have the DelDOT area-wide study fee memo and also a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response letter. And we also have an additional letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and I would note that we have received one comment. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. And now the chair recognizes Ms. Pete.
Thank you. Again, for the record, my name is Mackenzie Pete. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Saul Ewing, present on behalf of the applicant, Gulfstream Glen Cove LLC, seeking to rezone property just outside the town of Millville from AR1 agricultural residential to MR medium density residential, and a conditional use to allow 46 single family detached dwellings in a multifamily arrangement. That number was reduced down from 50 as a result of a change in entrance location, which I'll discuss, as well as the implementation of a proposed buffer, specifically the resource buffer. These applications are denominated as change of zone number 2017 and conditional use number 2462. Present with me this afternoon are Ron Sutton, PE and Managing Principal of Civil Engineering Associates, Inc., along with Will Tupac, Professional Wetland Scientist of Watershed Eco, Dave Hart, President, and John Murray, Land Development Manager of Fox Lane Homes, Delaware, the potential developer of the site. The site spans approximately 12.32 acres. If possible, I had submitted a set of abbreviated materials that I wanted to reference. If I could just have those up, that would be great. Comprising of the parcels and properties Director Whitehouse stated, all of the properties except for parcel 375 are owned by the applicant entity. Parcel 375 is owned by O.T. Collins Family Limited Partnership. The site is bordered by residential developments, both within the county and then the town of Millville. Thank you very much. So it primarily features immature wetlands and some grassy areas currently, with existing wetlands located to the northwest. You'll see marked here, as well as tax ditch right-of-ways that wrap around the property associated with the Derrickson Canal tax ditch surrounding much of the site. So you'll see them marked here, for example. Historically, the parcels excluding parcel 375 were approved as a major subdivision known as Glen Cove, intended for single-family detached homes on individual lots. However, this project was never realized due to unfavorable market conditions at that time. The area has since developed significantly with multifamily dwellings, as shown in materials we submitted. This represents, in our opinion, a classic really infill development with the proposed dwellings aligning with existing land uses in the region. The site's essentially an enclave surrounded by the town of Millville, similar to several other nearby properties. The plus comments did discuss and indicate that the parcel being next to town of Millville should be explored for annexation and considered for annexation into that jurisdiction as it's next to their planned growth area. However, due to its size, it does not meet the town's requirements for RPC status, and it couldn't be integrated into Bishop's Landing, which borders it as well. So that was not a viable option. The applicant has provided a comprehensive exhibit booklet for your review, which has been available for at least 10 days. The site, as I mentioned, is zoned AR1, and the applicant seeks to rezone it to MR. Section 115-28 of the code provides the purpose of the MR district as follows, quote, to provide for medium density residential development in areas which are or which are expected to become urban in character, but where sanitary sewer and public water supplies may or may not be available at the time of construction, together with churches, recreational facilities, and accessory uses as may be necessary or normally compatible with residential surroundings, end quote. The district is designed to protect existing developments of this character and includes vacant land deemed appropriate for such development in the future. Nearby properties are zoned AR, we have a map, AR1, MR, C1, CR1, and CR1. The site, as I mentioned, is bordered by Bishop's Landing, which wraps all around here within the town, consistent with the proposal. Within the county's jurisdiction, nearby residential developments include Windmill, Windhurst, Westmill, Pine Grove Country Estates, Barrington Park, and Wedgefield, among others. The site's situated within the coastal area, which according to Chapter 4 of the Comprehensive Plan is defined, as you know, by two main characteristics. First, as one of the most desirable locations for new housing in the county, a fact that certainly in this area is supported by recent construction data and rising real estate prices. And then second, the coastal area encompasses ecologically important and sensitive characteristics. Furthermore, the plan explains that the coastal area designation accommodates development provided that specific environmental concerns are addressed. A diverse range of housing types are also permitted within this area, including single-family homes on individual lots, townhouses, and multifamily. The applicant's proposing, as I mentioned, single-family detached dwellings and a multifamily arrangement, which would be permitted in the county and within the coastal area, excuse me. The proposed use is consistent with the coastal area for several reasons. Specifically in terms of infrastructure, the project will benefit from central water and sewer. It's located within Tier 1 and will be provided, the county will provide sewer services to the project, and it's also anticipated that Tidewater will provide water to the project. Additionally, the proximity to nearby commercial uses and employment centers, such as those within the town of Millville and the town of Oceanview, and nearby on Route 26, for example, enhances the project's viability and accessibility. The proposal also aligns with the existing character of the area, particularly with established developments such as Bishop's Landing nearby. Additionally, this area has demonstrated a clear demand for multifamily housing, as evidenced by developments nearby. By introducing additional single-family detached homes in a multifamily regime, this project will contribute to the diversity of housing options in Sussex County that has predominantly been developed with single-family detached homes on individual lots recently within a subdivision setting. Furthermore, the plan includes approximately 8.12 acres of open space. That's approximately 66% of the site, supporting the preservation of natural resources and promoting community enjoyment, while also proposing perimeter and resource buffers with on-site wetlands to remain undeveloped. The site's predominantly located within level two, and as the plus comments confirm, development in level two is consistent with the 2020 state strategies, policies and spending, and the Office of State Planning Coordination has no objection to the rezoning and site plan, provided it meets relevant codes and ordinances of Sussex County. So beyond what I've already shared, I just want to draw your attention specifically to the site plan. So again, you'll see that we've got single family detached dwellings in a multifamily regime. There's 46 that are proposed. As shown, you'll see the tax ditches and right-of-ways that wrap and are located along the property here. As discussed in the plus comments, there were historical amendments to the tax ditch right-of-ways. There may be an additional need for an amendment to accommodate an installation approximately here of a culvert between the wetland area and then ultimately into the larger pond, the wet pond there, to provide connection there. And our engineering team's available to provide clarification on the specifics of that if there are further questions. The site contains, as I mentioned, a small non-tidal wetland area. We have a better image of this. An average 30-foot resource buffer has been proposed, resulting in a total resource buffer of approximately 0.37 acres. That buffer area is shown on the screen. Specifically, the buffer varies in width from 15 feet up to 50.1 feet. At its narrowest point, it's 15 feet due to the presence of the tax ditch, which abuts that buffer, as well as the proposed outfall I was just discussing. The maintenance easement to access that area is also marked on the preliminary plans at the end of private drive one for future upkeep. And then a resource buffer management plan has also been prepared and submitted as part of the record. The site's predominantly wooded, although it's not classified as mature or old growth. Aerial imagery included in the drainage assessment report confirms that the Gulfstream properties were cleared historically around 2012. A perimeter buffer has also been proposed. I do want to explain that this is a little bit unique given the tax ditch right-of-ways that are located. You'll see in conditions that I'll submit that we are describing a 20-foot buffer that in some instances is adjacent to lands of other ownership, but then in other instances is on the internal side of the tax ditch right-of-way there. The site will be accessed from Burbage Road within a 50-foot right-of-way through the Windmill subdivision. An alternate entrance had been considered here. However, DLDOT confirmed, as evidenced by an email between Mr. Murray and John, I can never say his last name, Pietrobono, that this entrance violated certain sections of DLDOT's coordination manual, specifically DCM 1.6.1 regarding entrance locations in a deceleration lane, specifically the existing right turn lane for the adjacent site, and then also that it did not meet the required spacing of 250 for a major collector as defined in DCM figure 1.5.1. As a result, the entrance was relocated from here to here. According to DLDOT's response to the applicant's service level evaluation request dated August 19, 2024, the project is expected to generate fewer than 50 vehicle trips in any hour and fewer than 500 vehicle trips per day, determining the traffic impact to be negligible, qualifying this project for an area-wide study rather than a TIS, Additional improvements will include a 10-foot wide shared use path. At this time, I do want to submit a set of the conditions as well as the sample product types for what's being considered here for the single family detached homes. Next, I'd like to just discuss endangered species and threatened species, as well as there was a letter submitted into the record regarding the presence of a pair of great horned owls. So field investigations conducted by Watershed Eco did not identify any endangered or threatened species on site. Additionally, a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service IPAC report dated January 9, 2025 indicates that there are no critical habitats in the area. We, as I mentioned, noticed the opposition letter concerning the presence of a pair of great horned owls. The applicant and developer are not currently aware of the presence of these owls on site. However, Mr. Murray spoke with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who confirmed that the potential presence of a great horned owl nest would not necessarily impede the development of the property, and explained that their office recommends following best management practices when encountering a nest, which includes not disturbing it if eggs or fledglings are present. Mr. Murray also inquired whether a permit would be required for construction, and he confirmed that it would not, except in cases involving bald or golden eagles. This is a long way of saying, in response to that public comment, that the developer will follow best management practices if a nest is encountered. In terms of stormwater, the project includes two stormwater management areas, which you'll see on the screen, specifically wet ponds. As detailed in the exhibit booklet, all surface runoff will be directed to the larger centrally located pond, with discharge flowing eventually into the existing tax ditch system. In terms of amenities, there's proposed 5-foot sidewalks along one side of the internal streets, along with a proposed pool and pool house area that you'll see as well on the screen. With this in mind, I'll address specifically the rezoning and conditional use requests before concluding. So with respect to the rezoning request, the applicant's proposal to rezone the property from AR1 to MR is appropriate for several reasons. First, proximity to existing MR and compatibility with nearby developments. The site's located near properties zoned the same and adjacent to sites that are sites and properties in the town that have already been developed with dwellings similar to what's being proposed here. This zoning change would align with the existing land use patterns and the character of their surrounding area, and will result in a seamless transition between the communities with less similar or increased density than what is proposed. For reasons explained, the proposed MR zoning is also consistent with the comprehensive plan and considered to be a consistent zoning district within the coastal area. As this commission knows, the code provides that property owners in each zoning district can undertake certain uses of their property by right, while certain uses are prohibited outright and others are allowed upon receipt of a conditional use approval from this county. The code provides that the purpose of a conditional use is, quote, to provide for certain uses which cannot be well adjusted to their environment in particular locations with full protection offered to surrounding properties by rigid application of the district regulations. These uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare, but because of the nature of the use, the importance of the relationship to the comprehensive plan, and the possible impact not only on neighboring properties, but on a large section of the county, require the exercise of planning judgment on location and site plan. The proposal for a conditional use to allow single-family detached dwellings in a multifamily regime meets the purpose outlined in the code for conditional uses. Specifically, the dwellings are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the community. Given the demonstrated demand for housing in the area, this proposal will provide a much needed housing option that is compatible with the existing developments nearby, such as Bishop's Landing. The development plan includes measures to address environmental concerns as addressed with the establishment of a resource buffer around the wetlands, which will protect these sensitive areas, allowing for responsible development. By maintaining approximately 66% of the site as open space, the proposal not only enhances the community enjoyment, but will also contribute to the preservation of natural resources aligning with the comprehensive plan goals. And finally, the nature of the proposed use necessitates the exercise of planning judgment regarding location and site plan. The proposed development is strategically located within a growth area, next to a town's growth area within predominantly level 2, and near existing infrastructure. This location supports state, county, and the town's visions for growth and development in a manner that respects both needs of the community and the surrounding environment. In conclusion, both the rezoning and conditional use applications are well supported by surrounding land uses, align with the strategic goals of the state, county, and town, and demonstrate a commitment to responsible development that considers community needs and environmental protection. So with that, I'll conclude, and we are happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. And we'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we're gonna start with Mr. Mears.
I agree this project is basic infill. I do have one question. Forgive me if you already answered it.
Sure.
The buffer perimeter, are we gonna be using any existing trees?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Wingate?
Just a couple questions, and just for my clarity. So when I'm trying to get my head around where this entrance is gonna be. Mm-hmm. When I'm on Burbage Road, the road that's, there's like a little bit of a temporary construction or like roadway there. Is that where this new roadway is gonna go? Access?
Hi, Ron Sutton with Civil Engineering Associates. That is correct.
Okay. And I'm asking that because in one of our comments that we have, and I think this is going to be a question for you, Mr. Robertson. Oops. The letter that we have from Mr. Ford, Tom Ford, concerning the future use when he bought his lot, which he is right next to that entrance number 3. Get this pulled up, I'm sorry. The internal remaining lots subject to the application were sold in the 1980s to Donald Harkins. I am unfamiliar with the property transfers that occurred thereafter, but do recall that the stipulations were imposed limiting the development of the parcel to a single family lots in development. So I don't know if we
need to. I can
speak
to that.
Okay.
So
please.
There is a deed restriction of record that states, it's in book, deed book 1390, page 217. It states only single-family detached residential dwellings shall be constructed upon the above-described premise. And so we consider these to be detached.
This plan is what you're considering to be detached. Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's all I have for now. Thank
there's
you.
There's nothing that states,
didn't say
and to elaborate
lots.
On that, to elaborate on that, there's nothing that says that they could only be fee simple lots. It was that they were detached single-family dwellings, which we consider these to be those.
I was wondering why. That's why you gave us the plan.
I would agree. Can you send that to me? Just
yes.
That's lazy on my part.
I assume that's why we got this plan.
Yes. But
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Found.
No questions for me. It looks like it optimizes use of existing infrastructure the county's already invested in. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No, sir.
Anything? Okay. Staff, anything? Mr. Whitehouse?
One question, if I may, Mr. Chairman. Just thank you for the architectural detailing. It's very, very helpful. My question was in relation to the buffer and protection of the buffer.
Mm-hmm.
If all the units are 60 feet from the very front of the unit to the back, unit 10 is the one that struck my eyes. It'll
yes,
be touching.
So
yeah.
those are still in draft form. And I don't know if you have a thought too, but
those top three units are gone. That's where the second pond is. That's for some reason they don't.
Oh, it is. That's not the updated
so we don't
plan.
Have the correct site plan.
There is a correct plan in the record. It looks like that was the wrong
sure?
one that was attached.
This presentation.
Yeah, there's actually an updated site plan that shows the stormwater pond there.
Yes.
And it's in the record.
Yes,
it was submitted as part of the record.
Yes. Yeah. So those three lots are gone. There's an additional
Thanks,
pond added in to collect the stormwater from this side.
Were there any other changes to the plan that we're looking at?
We actually got so that plan right there doesn't show the exact buffer that Mackenzie discussed. The correct plan does. So it over an average of 30.
Do you know when that was submitted? if you know offhand, I'm not saying it wasn't submitted.
It would have been submitted.
Stick drive of it if you want to plug it in.
So this on the screen, this is the January 21st plan. And then this
yeah,
is...
Yeah, and there was a subsequent submission as a result of comments related to the drainage assessment report, and that's where the pond was shown.
Yeah, if you don't mind plugging the flash drive
in. Plug it in, take a look at it.
Yeah.
We have a copy of it, too.
It'd probably be easier on the screen, since it's a big deal.
Yeah, we need to
see it. You probably got to plug it in down there. Yeah. Do you know when this was submitted?
I don't know.
Just roughly.
Everything was submitted when we sent the booklet.
Okay. All right.
Over 10 days ago.
Yeah, just, I mean, they're going to upload it, but looking at it, the lots that we were talking about in that northwestern corner, sort of before jobs are gone. Unless you have that. Is this a copy we can hold on to?
Okay.
Is that the one that's also in the exhibit book as well? Do you know? Okay.
Yeah, but there was an update to the materials that we submitted as a result of, like, prior to
right.
the deadline
right.
that would have addressed some of the county engineering comments, so.
Because there was, just on ours, there was an exhibit book on February 17th, and then there was one, or, yeah, and then, like, a couple days later.
On 217.
And then 224, I would say, was in that one. Again, we're not saying it wasn't submitted.
No, I know. It's just making sure we're referencing the right one.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks. So as you can see, the what we're talking about, what Mr. Whitehouse was talking about is that to the left of the pond, those three units have been eliminated. So
the total number of units would be?
It's 46.
46
still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm sorry about that. I wasn't appreciating those references.
No, that's
the prior
fine.
Plan.
I mean, it just sounds like it
yeah.
just didn't show up. So,
thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other differences? Okay.
No, we lost the minutes.
Wait a minute now, the road's back on. Yeah, the plan that's in the package shows the entrance on the left side of the page. What I'm looking at.
So it's the entrance is here, and yeah, exactly. That's not an entrance.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
it's in there.
But look at this one. There it is.
Yeah, yeah.
There is another plan in the record that had shown that before LDOT required the change.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I was concerned about that because it looked like that land was set aside for that purpose, and what was going to happen to it? Okay,
They won't let us access. We tried.
All right, then. Okay, I'm good. I think Mr. Whitehouse had the floor. Do you have a question?
I think you answered my question. Thank you.
Thanks for it. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Robertson.
No. Sorry, no questions.
Okay, then.
Thanks for bearing with us while we sort it out.
Yeah. So, because we always talk about alternative access, alternate access to any subdivision. So, really, what's in the packet that it doesn't have to go, what you're showing there on the left, could be used as an emergency access if need be.
My only comment would be that DelDOT isn't favorable to any access.
Well, no, it wouldn't be paved, just the emergency access that we have been requiring on every development. We're trying to be consistent here.
And we've had that discussion with DelDOT, and I think they now understand what we're talking about. It's not an entrance that is designed to be used on any kind of regular basis, just for emergencies.
Like, literally, you could just drive across
and
if you had to.
Literally, you just have to be able to drive across whatever's there. You don't want to pave it. You don't need to demarcate it. It just needs to be there. If a fire truck or an ambulance needs to cut across it, they can do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So okay if you'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of change of zone 2017 Gulfstream Glen Cove or change of use 2462 Gulfstream Glen Cove? In favor. Is there anyone here who'd like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Come on up. Now's your time. You've been very patient.
You need to hit it again. You turned it off. You were the one that turned it on the very beginning.
Well, he followed directions. He did. We asked him.
Charles Alberto. I live in Millville, and my home borders this property as well.
All right.
So rather than what I'd like to know, if I could ask.
Look this way. Okay. Look at me.
What I'd like to know, rather than oppose or be in favor of, if I could ask a few questions about it.
You can ask me, and I'll ask them if can't answer them.
And that is, so what I'm noticing now is, because everything that we had prior had the entrance, and you had this conversation about the fire trucks, the emergencies, but the entrance was over on the left.
Right.
In the documents, when you look at them in the maps.
Correct.
But now, this is the first time I've seen this. And there, see, what I'm looking at, that windmill subdivision originally had, there's an opening between those two, between Bunting's property and then the one over here. So it exists. I think that was the original plan.
What you're looking at, I suspect, is what they had in mind when that property was divided originally.
Right, and on your picture, in fact, it's posted on the property, it shows the 16 properties with the original zoning, and it's actually 14 addresses, which is on this.
Okay.
But now, of course, they want to do a completely different plan with 46 units.
Correct.
The only question I have for them, I live against the Derrickson ditch as well.
Okay.
When they talk about a buffer of 30 foot, is that in addition to the access area of the ditch for the maintenance of the ditch and then a 30 foot? Or are you talking a total 30 foot?
We'll get an answer for you.
All right.
So what else do you have?
I think that's probably it. That's probably it at this time.
Okay.
That's all right. I'd like
you'll
to
take,
know.
If okay. you'll take a seat, we'll ask all them right. to come up and address your concern. All right. Yes, sir. Come on.
Hi, Ron Sutton again. So I think he's asking about the right-of-way of the tax ditch. So on the right-of-way of the tax ditch.
Well, he's asking about the width of the buffer, where it's measured from, and how much is physically going to be there, I think.
Can I just gently interrupt? I'm on the far left-hand corner. So
okay.
So the upper corner, okay. I'm across from there, and I was just wondering.
So there's a 20-foot wide tax ditch right-of-way, basically, on our property. That's what that hatch with the lines in it represent.
Okay.
And then the green is the 20-foot forested buffer. So that was all originally agreed to and approved when we did the original court order change when we did the 16 lots on that phase.
Okay. So if I could summarize that, there's some portion of the actual tax ditch. Then there's 20 foot of tax ditch easement, then there's 20 foot of buffer, and then there's the development.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're looking at maybe 40 foot total?
40 or more.
Mackenzie was telling me there is an exhibit in here that we have a tax ditch, actually in the paperwork that I gave you, it's probably easier to see.
It's the last page of the presentation materials as well.
Oh, right. The PowerPoint? That's the last one we did.
It would have been the materials that I just submitted today that we had up earlier.
That's it.
That had the wrong plan. And it's the last page, I believe. Yep.
There you go.
Kind of did a cross-section showing the existing houses, the buffers, the tax ditch, and then where the new units would be constructed.
Well, we're not going to get,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
We got to keep these meetings on track.
Yeah. It's a public hearing, not a town hall.
Okay. Thank you for everybody's patience and explanations, though.
Okay.
I think we got that question answered.
All right. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Okay. There being no further opposition speakers, commissioners, any questions, comments?
No, sir.
All right, then, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the day to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call back in the morning. Thank you.